give you the results of those three items once I got to council. So Z2316, which was a request to rezone from agricultural to light industrial on Holder Reef Road. You may recall there was an annexation that kind of was running concurrent with that.
Right.
It was approved at first reading. The second reading has been postponed. It's pending the annexation process. Another case is Z2317, which was a request to rezone from single-family residential 20 to commercial on East Huffsmith Road. So no action was taken by city council on that item, and staff is currently working with that applicant to figure out another path forward for them. So they may very well be coming back to you all for a different request for rezoning.
Okay.
And then the final item was Z2318, which was rezoning from single-family 20 to commercial in the 100 block of Holder Reef Boulevard. That item was denied by city council. And that's it for the reports and announcements.
Okay. Thank you. Great report. Okay. Consideration to approve the minutes of the regular Planning and Zoning Commission meeting of November 13th, 2023. Let me ask you a question. Okay, we're good to go. So is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Commissioner Harris. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there any corrections or discussion? Seeing none, would you please call the roll?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Anderson.
Aye.
Commissioner Harris.
Aye.
Commissioner Moore.
Aye.
Commissioner Tay.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Okay, new business, non-action items. Staff, could we have your presentation, please?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. My name is Jared Smith. I'm the city planner for the city of Tomball. There are two plats. They're both minor plats on the agenda this evening. The Graham Road Estates Route Plat Number 1, Amending Plat Number 1, and then Pincus Falcane Plat. Because these are minor plats, they are non-action items which will be administratively approved. These plats, as well as subsequent conditions for approval, were included in your packets. If there are any specific questions you have on either of these plats, I'm happy to discuss them individually. Otherwise, we'll move forward without really a formal presentation. Thank you.
Do y'all have any questions for staff?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
This is new.
Pardon?
This is new.
Okay. And as a new item, and a point for all of us to review, in accordance with the Tomball Municipal Code, should the commission recommend denial of any zoning change requests, the commission shall provide reasons to the applicant for the denial if requested by the applicant. So that's being added to our oversight. Okay. Here. F1. Consideration to approve.
I'm sorry, can we back up just a second?
Yes, sir.
When we explain our denial, how does that occur? Is that a formal, is it formal writing or is it verbal or?
Yeah, I mean, it can be either one if you want to consider it down into a report. Generally,
and this
suggest
is
suggest if you have any basis that's already within the staff report, then you would just adopt the, you know, if it's in line with the recommendation provided by staff, you can just do it as an adoption of the staff report, or you can do it by individual comments reflected in the minutes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and then I think staff can work on it. Perhaps I'll ask them if y'all could. So we'd like to send a letter out to, or an email out to all of the commission to explain and give some examples that would help them learn from what we need to do in order to be in compliance with the law. So, will that help?
Yes.
Thank you. This is something very new. All righty. This is consideration to approve ordinance amendment 0AM23-03, request by the City of Tomball to amend Chapter 50, Article 3, District Regulations, adding Section 50-75.1, Neighborhood Retail District, NR Zoning Classification, and subsequent district standards, modifying Section 50-82, which is Use Regulation and Charts, modifying Section 50-112, off-street parking and loading requirements, adding parking regulations within the neighborhood retail district, modifying Section 50-113, landscape requirements, specifying parking lot screening requirements, modifying Section 50-115, screening, buffering, and fencing requirements, replacing subsection B1, screening of non-residential, multifamily, and manufactured mobile home parks with new land use buffering standards. Staff, could we have your presentation, please?
Yes, ma'am, and thank you. Once again, my name is Jared Smith. I'm the city planner for the City of Tomball, and I am excited to share this with you. This is something that we've kind of been working on over the past several months out of what we really felt was a need. So what this is in front of you is kind of, I'll just provide some background. Over the past several months, you're aware of it, the City of Tomball has been approached by property owners and prospective developers who are requesting to rezone properties to allow non-residential developments. And a lot of times these properties are within or often near existing or planned residential land uses or the intersections of major thoroughfares. In many instances, those requests are in alignment with the goals and objectives of our comprehensive plan and the future land use plan map. However, our existing non-residential zoning districts, being general retail, commercial, and light industrial, often allow a wide range of uses that may be considered incompatible or perhaps undesirable next to existing residential land uses or perhaps at these key intersections of major thoroughfares. In those circumstances, the Planning and Zoning Commission or City Council have approved downgrading of rezoning requests to the office zoning district. And although the office zoning district may be suitable in some circumstances, there are oftentimes developments or planned land uses that would benefit from other zoning districts because office is so highly restrictive. So taking that into consideration and efforts to create a more complete neighborhood, what we as the city would like to do is introduce a new non-residential zoning district. So the intent of this zoning district is to really encourage neighborhood scale non-residential development. And the way that we're going to do that is by incorporating architectural and site development standards that engage streetscapes and encourage pedestrian-oriented site design. Also, we want to accommodate a limited range of retail trade services as well as office land uses, which are often needed to support or serve neighborhoods. The uses promoted by this district are really meant to be a middle ground of sorts from the uses that are allowed by right in office zoning and what's allowed by within general retail. We're looking for to kind of create a hybrid of sorts, so maybe not as restrictive as office, but maybe not as open as general retail. So we're also looking to for this to serve as a transitional zoning district as well. So what I mean by that is kind of a buffering from the existing residential land uses and more intense non-residential zoning districts or major thoroughfares, providing a buffering of sorts between those types of land uses. Ideally, this zoning district is meant to be located at intersections of major thoroughfares or at the intersections or entrances of residential subdivisions or multifamily developments. So there's a lot to unpack with this ordinance amendment. I'm not going to dive into every little nit and gritty detail on it. I provided all the development standards within your packets in your staff report. If you have any specific questions regarding any of those standards, I'm happy to discuss them following this presentation. But in addition to this neighborhood retail district and the use standards that go along with it, we are also looking to target kind of increasing our land use buffering standards. Mm-hmm. So right now, the city's buffering standards are pretty light. So we just require a 6-foot opaque fence or wall and a 10-foot vegetative buffer, and that's it, between non-residential and residential zoning districts. So what we're wanting to do is kind of get rid of that standard and adopt a new standard. And what that would be, in a nutshell, is a minimum 7-foot opaque wooden fence, so a little bit taller fence, with a 10-foot vegetative buffer, plus at least 25 points based on a point system, which I've outlined here on this slide. That being, if they choose to put an opaque masonry wall instead of a wooden fence with a minimum 6-foot height, that would be 10 points towards the 25 points that's required. For each additional 5 feet of buffer yard, they would get 5 points for a maximum of 10. And then also, we're trying to get additional plantings, so trees to be planted within that land use buffer and to provide a vertical visual buffer, right? So they really have two options. They can incorporate both of them to achieve this 25 points, but really it can be achieved by just picking one. But that is one tree with a mature height of at least 20 feet and a height of at least 8 feet at the time of planting with a caliper size of 4 inches. That tree would have to be every 25 lineal feet of property boundary separating those zoning districts, or 3 smaller trees, which is 8 feet at the time of planting, 8 feet in height, 2 inches in caliper, again, spaced over 25 linear feet. So that's really kind of it in a nutshell. So like I said, there's a lot to unpack in this ordinance amendment, mm-hmm. because what we had to do was quite literally draft every little standard that would govern neighborhood retail. So if there's anything that you would like for me to dive deeper into in that ordinance, I'm happy to. This is kind of just to provide a broad, general overview of the intent of this ordinance amendment. So with that said, I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Can you put that back?
Sure.
Thank you. Okay. Did y'all have anything you'd like to say? Otherwise, I'll have to go to the public hearing.
So it's for between a potential commercial business and a residential business, but not between two commercial properties, right?
It really can go wherever we find it to fit. The intention of this is to provide these commercial services next to residential, mm-hmm. right? It's to kind of help provide these services in close proximity. The goal is to create a walkable, livable community in each of these neighborhoods. And how do we do that? Well, we have to be very strategic in what zoning districts go in those circumstances. And that's what this is for. It's kind of a mechanism of sorts. Maybe not quite as wide open as general retail, and perhaps not, certainly not as restrictive as office.
Do you happen to have any examples of where the current land use buffer is shown to be inadequate, do you?
Well, yeah, there's a few areas of town where we have, you know, light industrial backing up to single-family residential. Mm-hmm. So in those circumstances, yeah, it would be ideal to have a transitional buffering of sorts between that planned light industrial and existing or planned single-family residential. So in circumstances like that, this would be appropriate. Again, at entrances to neighborhoods, this would be appropriate at intersections mm-hmm. of major thoroughfares that we want to try to dress up. The other part of this zoning district is it really does try to focus on beautifying a streetscape. Mm-hmm. We try to do what we can from a planning perspective to accommodate that. So that's the intent here, is to strategically locate these zoning districts where we find it's most appropriate.
So were there spots where the standard doesn't meet the new standard, or are they going to be forced to catch up to the new standard, or are they grandfathered into the old?
As far as the land use buffering goes, mm-hmm. they'll be grandfathered in. Yeah. So any new development.
It's new development only, right.
And that will be stated in this ordinance?
It's inherent in the code, so anything that is in existence prior to the date of an effective ordinance, they are legally grandfathered in. We're not going to go around and tell them they need to put in a 7-foot fence where they have a 6-foot fence. Mm-hmm.
So what about new neighborhoods?
So this applies, I'm glad you brought that up. This applies to non-residential developments.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think this is a great idea. Thank you for doing this. So last month we voted on a retail area with the apartments behind it.
Right.
So would that be, this would be in the same kind of neighborhood retail? Is that similar to, you would have this going on between the the stores and then behind the apartment areas?
That's the intent.
That's what, this is what it would look like, and so it would kind of buffer, buffer that.
Right, so the PD that you're speaking on.
Yeah.
So they had, when you do a plan development, you're required to provide a base zoning district, and in their circumstance, they put in general retail, which again, is pretty wide open as far as what's allowed. It maybe allows things that don't want next to homes, like automotive repair shops, paint and body shops, you know, automotive, quick lube sorts of facilities, gas stations, things like that. So in that regard, they could have theoretically put neighborhood retail if this was adopted as their base zoning, and these standards would be applicable. So those uses would not be allowed there in that particular circumstance.
So you wouldn't look at the map again and say that this would be neighborhood retail, or go redo your map?
No, this will be applicant-driven for the time being.
Yeah. No, this is a great idea. Thank you for that. I think it's going to make a difference.
I hope so.
Okay, does anybody have anything else or thoughts? I'll be really frank. I think that we need a little more, I would like personally, a little more detail of what you're wanting to do direction-wise.
What details specifically would you?
I know this is creating an entirely new section in our code, which we desperately need, because this is something that has been, I've seen it before, we've seen for a long time. We did attempt to do this when we did the original zoning ordinances. And to be really frank, it created more chaos than it did understanding. And it didn't accomplish the goal we wanted, which is why it wasn't included. I'd like to see some more of the detail. I understand what you've got here, but okay, I lost it. All I did was wait.
No, he did something.
You did it. Thank you. At least it wasn't me this time.
We didn't do it this time.
Okay, well.
We can look at the fine details of this if you would really like to dive in.
Well, I would like to dive into it. I don't honestly, to be frank, feel like there's enough time to do that tonight. What is there a time crunch on this approval? Yeah or no? I mean,
I'll defer to.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking for a recommendation. So, ideally, we would like for you to have some feedback on the item, kind of at this point in time, so that we can collect that and send it to council with that recommendation. So, whether you're in favor or opposed to it, as well as any sort of modifications you think might be necessary. That's what we're looking for. As far as the time crunch goes, we've noticed that it's going to P&Z today and City Council next Monday. We're really just looking to have the guidance, and we're trying to get going on this.
Partially because
it has become a pressing matter. We're starting to have more and more of these developments wanting to this style of land use, if you will, and.
Are you talking about what type of developments are wanting to use this? Are you talking retail? Are you talking residential combination?
This is non-residential. This is a non-residential zoning classification.
Right.
So it's a neighborhood retail. So.
Mm-hmm. I know. But neighborhood to a lot of people, when first look at it, I would assume that neighborhood meant two blocks over in our neighborhood. Because there's a large tract of land, maybe that's where they would want to put something like that, or the owner could.
So the intent of this, and it's worded at the very top of the section that you'd be adopting, is really to locate this zoning district at strategic locations of major arterial or major thoroughfare intersections, as well as entrances to subdivisions. So not necessarily in the middle of your neighborhood, but perhaps as you're coming into your neighborhood, at an intersection of an arterial street in your entrance, that would be a logical place for some level of commercial services.
Okay. All right.
Jared, I don't know, Jared, if you want to pull up maybe the interactive map, it might help to kind of visualize like an area this could, you know, where you would want to see some transition. So I'm thinking like Rayburn Reserve going, so the last phase of Rayburn Reserve is on the south side of Medical Complex. So as you're getting closer to the industrial area, that we want to see that transition of the residential to the heavier land use. So this isn't a, you know, I'm using it only as a hypothetical for a visual, but that's where you would see sort of, you've got that residential piece there on the south side of Medical Complex and some property surrounding around, and the industrial park is south of that. So you've got these two competing land uses, that this is somewhere where you could say, hey, maybe there's a bakery or a coffee shop, something that's a low intense use that someone, coming out of the neighborhood might find. Under our current code, to be able to do that, you would have to have a general retail zoning district. That opens up to it being a lot more significant and intense land uses. So what this zoning district tries to do is capture those land uses that someone might want kind of on the outside of their neighborhood as they're transitioning to those more intense uses. So it takes some of those lighter intensity uses that we're seeing a lot of requests for in that general retail zoning and giving them their own sort of classification.
Okay. Did you get this from some other town, or I mean, it's a great idea. Where did you come up with this?
Yes. Yeah, other places use this? I wish I could take all the credit for this, but I can't. Yeah. So where I came from, in Abilene, we had neighborhood office and neighborhood retail. Really, this was the intent.
I didn't
copy it verbatim because we're different than Abilene.
Right.
In a good way.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But that's better. The plan is to take kind of how we do things and bring in this idea and kind of melt those together or create a hybrid of sorts. And yes, I'm glad that Jessica brought up this parcel land because it is a great example.
That is a good idea.
So we have the business park, which is growing to the south.
Right.
And we've had pushback from the community who live there, or at least one neighbor in particular who's doesn't want this to really infringe on its house. So we need to find a way to protect, well, in this case, Rayburn Reserve to the north here in the blue.
Yes.
You recently rezoned, or we recently rezoned this to light industrial, and this is still single family. Well, the future land use plan calls for business park and industrial. So by right, they could request light industrial, but realistically, we probably should consider something that can transition from those industrial land uses as you move closer to those homes. That's the intent here, is to capture that transition.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, this is very similar to what Georgetown has done, and with they've done in Lubbock. And in Lubbock, it's been extremely successful by bringing in a lot of the residents and getting their opinion and all. But they did it starting in the very beginning of beautifying and creating their industrial district that was no longer being used for the original uses, and there was more of the art community type thing coming in. And they do a lot of stuff there, and it does look very nice. And I know this has been brought up before, somebody, they've created a smaller event center in that area, and they do different things, kind of like we do with our events on weekends and things. And I do know somebody who had worked with that, and they said, like you, there was a lot of considerations that had to be brought in and discussed on different things, because if you don't have the proper controls in place, things can get very convoluted, and they had some issues. But it's like anything else, growing pains. And it is something we have needed for some years. I don't know if y'all have ever looked back at the original Old Town mixed use, but you might look at it at some point. It has, my opinion only, and not as chair, but as a resident here for 40 years, is that that plan was a little too detailed, and it was very restrictive. This sounds like a happy medium, but I do believe that there we need a little more detail and anything before I can, me as an individual resident, to try to get the buy-in, because we need their buy-in, because there are a lot of smaller parcels that at some point I could see them doing this. Because my bikers and my hikers are growing, and they just all run the main street to get a drink or do something. And they all say, well, I live further out, up off of the other end of Queen Street. We have nothing around there that we can go do that. And I'm thinking, well, that would be nice. Let's, you know, go to city council, call staff, and don't call me.
So this is a nice, soft transition.
It is.
Going from housing to industrial, and then you have that, like you said, the buffer in there. So who determines, now if somebody went to buy this property, just say, so who determines it's going to be neighborhood retail? Would we automatically, if it's not on the map, or how do we,
so,
how do we do that?
That's a really good question. So most all, if not all, zoning requests that you ever consider comes and talks to us staff first. And it's during those initial conversations that we discuss possibilities for them. So we first are going to look at the future land use plan and figure out what that calls for. But as you know, that's not always a sure-fired yes, it's a slam dunk because the future land use plan calls for it. In fact, we have seen in the relatively recent past circumstances where the future land use plan supported light industrial or commercial, but it got up to city council and council said, no, we're not going to approve this. And so the applicant says, well, why not? Well, we don't like the uses that are allowed, or we feel like we need to protect the residences that are nearby. This is that mechanism. So rather than them approving a downgrading to office, which is incredibly restrictive, almost everything requires a CUP.
Right.
This is that middle ground of sorts. So what we really tried to do, and I have a tailored land use chart for you if you really want to go through it. I'm happy to pull it up. It'll show you the differences between office and this. And where this use is not allowed in office, but will be allowed in this new district. And we can look at those. But really what they are is retail trades. So you'll find office zoning doesn't allow for like general retail.
Right.
For clothing stores, or a museum, or an art gallery, or even like a standard restaurant. Where these are things that you want in front of a neighborhood.
Yeah.
You want to be able to provide this walkable environment. I don't want everyone to have to get in a car and drive to Old Town to find these things. That's going to lead to congestion downtown.
That's right.
They'll provide the services in their backyard. So this is that mechanism. And like I said, I'm happy to go over the details if you want. We can spend as much time as you need. But that's really the intent here.
I think it protects the residents, the homeowners. You know, it's looking out for them so that they feel that we're not just putting in, you put in industrial right next to their subdivision or something that we wouldn't want to live by. So I think this is protecting the residents of Tomball.
It's a powerful tool for sure.
It is a very powerful tool.
From a zoning standpoint.
But gentlemen, what do you have to say? You've been very peaceful, quiet.
I like this.
I like it too, but.
I like this, but. I'm not sure we need something on every street corner. And I like the fact that it has to come before us. So it's not something we can just put on the map. You know, this will go here, this will go here. So I'm listening because there were a lot of details in this that just screamed, I'm going to have an all-night bar outside my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Quite the contrary. But yeah, that's the point, is to provide the opportunity for us, for you, the body and the council, to decide, well, where is this appropriate, and giving that mechanism. And there are built-in standards in here as well, like a drinking establishment. Well, it's not allowed by right. You'll need a CUP for it, right? Or hours of operation are also built in here. So there's hours of operation, there's limitation and prohibition on outdoor storage and outdoor sales. So we've tried to tailor this in a way to make it as palatable with the community or neighborhood as we really can.
Just to put a fine point on it, and I like the idea, is you go down Spring Cypress from 249, and it is lined with commercial applications.
That's right.
And the neighborhoods were built behind that. It's not walkable.
Sure.
It's not enjoyable.
Yes, that's right.
And it is, you know, everything you don't want outside of my neighborhood.
Yes, sir. And that's what I call everywhere USA.
Yes.
So every major thoroughfare, especially here in Houston, is lined with commercial.
Right.
And really, none of it creates a destination.
No.
So that's not the intent with this. It's to strategically identify, well, where is this destination? Where is it appropriate to put some commercial uses? Because granted, neighborhoods should have some services within a decent distance from their homes.
Sure.
And everyone should have to get in a car to go find these services. Not everyone has a car. And our streets are not built for everyone to drive on them.
Right.
That's how you end up with congestion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really we have to find a middle ground. Mm-hmm. This is the proposed mechanism.
So you got outdoor sales completely prohibited.
Yes.
What's the reasoning for that exactly?
Again, we're trying to make this something that you're fitting into a neighborhood environment. We don't want the parking lot to be littered with tractor trailers. We don't want Home Depot-like businesses. Nothing against Home Depot or any of those styles of businesses, but we don't want those in a neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
We're trying to dress up the streetscape, not display.
So it wouldn't be like a flea market.
Not display your items for
right.
sale.
Right.
The idea is to create something that's engaging to the street, something that's attractive to a passerby, something that...
Well, I guess the reason I asked that question, I get all that, and I kind of agree with that, but I didn't know if somebody at some point has a pretty slick or innovative way to create an outdoor market that looks pretty cool and fun and inviting. Would they have a way to do that? Or are they just shut out altogether?
When you're finished, I have a comment to make about what he says.
To answer that, your question, we have the open air market land use. So that's like, you know, your farmer market style, use pop-up tents. This would not promote that. That's not our goal. That can be changed. That's the sort of feedback that we're looking for. But do you want that on every corner of the neighborhood?
No,
but I think we need to have some sort of mechanism. That seems to me to be a pretty strict rule, just that all together, where there might be a circumstance where it might be a neat feature to have in front of a neighborhood.
And just so you understand where staff is coming from, again, this is a hybrid of sorts. We took office zoning, which is, again, really, really restrictive, and general retail, and try to create a hybrid. And office zoning does not allow outdoor sales. So that's where that's coming from. We kind of want this to have the same restrictive nature, just not as strict as office.
Could you just add, like, you know, if it is an outdoor sales, it's prohibited unless there's a conditional use approved? Possible.
Yeah, you can add anything. Is it going to work?
That's what we try to do is be clear and concise. What I don't want is for us to become the CUP city, where you got to get a CUP to do anything in everything.
That's not what they're for.
Just for them to operate a business. So what we can do is entertain minimum or maximum allowed outdoor sales. That's what a lot of people will do. So 10% of your gross site area can be utilized for outdoor sales, or restricted to outdoor sales can't be past, you know, 5 feet of the facade of the building. That's kind of how Old Town is. You can't, you know, stick it out in the parking lot and use up parking stalls or anything along those lines. So there's opportunity for us to get creative on that. But again, the idea is really to create an attractive environment, not create an environment that's cluttered with outdoor sales.
Right?
So outdoor sales, a lot of times, will turn into, you know, automotive sales, or tractor sales, or, you know. So it's really, we're trying to prevent that.
I got you.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for clarifying.
I like it. You have something else, Richard?
What's that?
Do you have something else you want to add?
No, I'm listening. I want to make sure that I understand, because I do. I like this.
Mm-hmm.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah. That's all I got. I mean, I'm in favor of it.
No, I'm good.
Okay. I have a concern, huge concern, but at the same time, I like this. I think this is the direction that back, to be honest, when we were working on zoning with the consultants and all, this is something like this was brought up several times. We actually spent, four of us, 6 months working on the Old Town mixed-use area. However, it was twice the size it is now, because we actually did the other side of the railroad, but at that time, that was not included in all that due to the financial restraints that we had to work within. However, something like this would have drastically helped the other side of 2920, between here and 2978. It really, because what we looked at that we were given was extremely restricted, which was for take a block, like your block, Scott. Every side of this, of that particular block had a different architectural standard and a use standard, literally down to the color of the mortar and the thing that was going to be utilized. And that was way beyond what we could go or we even wanted to go. My big concern for this is how is this going to address our old residential areas? Because we're losing those. Over by where I live, everybody and their brother is building, wanting to come in and build a giant size houses. So I sit in the middle of an area that was one of the first neighborhoods that were controlled by, at that time, zoning ordinances for a specific area when you had a subdivision. And now, down the street, there's a house that's got 5,000 square feet that sticks out like a sore thumb. With a swimming pool, I don't think it would cover the desk that we have here. And that's fine if everybody wants it. I have no problem with that. What I have a problem with is we're sitting here and we're taking away what I call the charm of Tomball and the history of our city. And I think that we need something like this. Something like this would help address those issues. And my concern at this point in time, and it's a very hard for me to bite my lip sometimes, is I don't think we've put enough time into this. Yes, I know y'all have and council has, and that helps. But I think if you want to sell it to the community and you want to sell it to some other people who might be not as easy to deal with, I think what I would like to propose is, and I don't know what time frame you're working in. Do you have, can you come to the podium, David?
Absolutely.
This is David Esquivel. He is our city manager, and I would like to ask you a few questions. How soon do they want to do all this? I know we need it right now, or we actually need it 5 years ago. I honestly think what I'm looking at is I would like to table this for at least 30 days, if not 60, just so we can go through this with staff and just try to make sure that before we recommend to council that everything, you know, we're a completely different type of board and we think differently. And I'd like to make sure that everybody's concerns are addressed over to council. And we really need to sit down with him because he is very innovative and he can take a lot of things that I didn't think we could ever do here and he can make them happen. And I appreciate that. So I just would like your thoughts, time frame wise.
So Madam Chair and members of the board, there's really not a time frame that we have for this. Like Jared was talking about, there's obviously growth going on
yes.
in the city. And what it seems like is the encroachment of commercial type uses going into residential.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen it and you've heard it that the council is concerned about that encroachment and protecting of existing residential. But at the same time, we're trying to provide that avenue for those commercial businesses to be able to mm-hmm. operate because there is a need for it.
Oh, absolutely.
I definitely do not want to make it seem like we're trying to ram this through. If the consensus of the board is to provide additional time or allow additional time for more discussion, absolutely. It's mm-hmm. it's something that I think that the planning department wanted to put in front to, number one, to get that discussion going and have something to review
mm-hmm.
and something for y'all to look at and discuss. But It's not anything that as far as a specific timeframe to get things in place that we are trying to meet. No, there's not a specific timeframe. So if there's additional time that's needed to go over it and to kind of at least even mull it over and think about it, absolutely, there's not an issue there. The thing is that we continue to see these applications come in.
And so that's another timeframe.
That's really the only pushing as far as a timeframe.
Okay. Thank you.
I would recommend absolutely one more at least, so that way you can have time to think it over now that you've seen it.
How many applications you got coming in where this would be in play? Any guess?
My guess is once this is adopted, it'll become pretty popular.
One of the ones that the corridor that I've seen since I've here most recently is Medical Complex. Because you know there's that little track that's at
a
Cherry
big track
and
right
Medical
there.
Complex that is right next to Pine.
Pine Meadow. Cherry.
Pine Meadow.
Pine
Meadows, I think
you're right.
Pine Meadows, and that's
Pine Meadows. Yes,
that
I know where you're
going. Supposed to be commercial. Well, commercials. They don't want necessarily a gas station right behind those. So this would be a good one, but probably would, if this was an option, they would move forward in developing that track and other tracks along there.
Yeah, because we do still have some large tracks that we thought outside downtown area that our core Tomball and the medical center that we thought would have already been developed by this time. Instead, people are wanting to come in closer and do those same developments that would be perfect for out there, but they want it in town. So it's been kind of difficult, and with the changes coming up with 2920 and freeways around us, and once 249 gets finished up 6 and 105, then this is going to be a bigger issue to address traffic wise. So anyway, there's my 55 cents worth. Do y'all have anything you'd like to tell Dave or discuss? I mean, my personal opinion is if it wasn't Christmas, I would say, and we all had time, I would say, could we postpone it to January, a decision. I don't know how that would impact what you're doing. But at this time, with the holidays and everything else going on, I would like to postpone it until February and then address it. Then that would give us all time to either schedule maybe a meeting or two with y'all and kind of get a better idea of the in-depth, and that would allow the different commissioners to bring up their issues and things. But I don't know how that's going to impact. Y'all have had so much work in the last year, especially since last December, and I know that's kind of thrown a lot of things off. So
it was a disruption, but we're
I know, y'all have done phenomenal.
But no, absolutely. If it's better to maybe schedule the next meeting, a workshop, to go specifically over this and have more of a breakdown of the ordinance so you can have a better comfort about exactly the areas that it's impacting, we can do that.
Yeah, and some examples of once this happens, what gates are going to open, what's going to happen, how many applicants, specific projects, I think would be cool.
Yeah, and like I said, we're just looking for your feedback, looking for recommendations. And I'm happy to meet with any one of you one-on-one if you like, or we're looking to do a workshop if you like. But yeah, if you want to stop by the office or meet me somewhere, I'm happy to meet you over coffee and we can talk about it.
Never want to meet me over coffee. You'd be there all day.
Yeah, I mean, we're just looking for really a mechanism that can accommodate.
I'm in favor of a workshop.
Workshop.
Okay, so do you want to do a workshop at a regular meeting time, or would you be open to doing one?
I'll come in early.
Pardon?
I'll come in early.
Know, but here's the thing. When you start a workshop, you do it before we're going to do a regular meeting. we inevitably, every time we've done it, we've run over into the regular meeting, is what I'm saying. Is there a day of the week, or, you know what? When do y'all make a proposal?
Madam Chair, I would suggest staff to kind of look at the caseload. If we have the next regular scheduled meeting, and if it's a light load, then that'd be a perfect time to do it.
Okay.
It's not a whole lot of interruption.
All right. Why don't y'all, somebody make a motion to have them go back, and then contact us with the...
I make a motion that the staff will go back and review the cases, and then let us know if that's a good time to meet at our meeting in January and talk about this.
Is that acceptable?
Acceptable.
We have a, did you write this down, Ms. Kim?
I have it.
I can't repeat it, so you write it down. A great job. I can't wait to get into it and see what it's all about.
Okay, and this is in January?
Yes.
What would you prefer, January or February?
January is good for me.
January.
No, I'm asking staff, because they have to get stuff together, and they have holidays too.
Yeah, we're not sure what, because applications are still being taken for the January meeting, so...
Okay, would you want to just come back and notify us?
Yeah, we'll let the board know as soon as we know.
Could I suggest putting it on the January agenda, and if it's a later date, then we can just table it to the actual, only just because the hard note, hard date on it, you don't have to renotice the newspaper and all that stuff.
Right.
It would just be a workshop, so we wouldn't have to notice. So we'd be okay. So we'll plan for January.
So you're talking, okay. I couldn't hear all that you said.
That we're going to aim for January, but since it's a workshop, we wouldn't have to we wouldn't be noticing a public hearing.
Well, no, I'm saying so you wouldn't have to notice the final decision. You could just,
for us.
Just put it on there, do it as one or the other or neither, and then just table it till the actual date.
Okay.
But that just...
Yeah, to keep us legal.
Ultimately, it's small potatoes because the applicant is the city, so...
Okay, so would you restate your motion, please, Commissioner Harris?
I make a motion that the staff will just go ahead and put this, table this until January, and we will discuss it then if we're able to.
Is that going to work?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
He's good with that.
That would be nice to have a museum somewhere. I like that. No, I'm bowling out.
Not yet. We're still in the...
A museum outside of my subdivision would be nice.
Making motions now.
Well, they're making a motion on that part. It's not a motion on the issue. It's for more information. But let me check with the attorney. That's exactly what he's looking at. He'll get back to us. He's way ahead of us.
Did we open the public hearing?
No. Because we were just discussing.
Well, it's just opening the public
hearing. Yeah.
If there's anyone here that wants that.
Okay, got it. All right, so you have the motion. Okay, before we vote on the motion, it's recommended I open the public hearing in case anybody would like to give us any information. So at this time is now 6:56 p.m. And I'm going to call the public hearing. Ah, here it is. Okay. The public hearing on ordinance amendment OAM 23-03 is now called to order. Let the record show that the time is now 6:56 p.m. Okay, if there's anybody who would like to speak regarding this request that's under discussion now, you'll have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for our record, please. Do you have anybody signed up?
No, ma'am. Okay.
Is there anybody here in the audience who would like to speak? If so, please come to the podium, state your name and address for our records, and you'll have 3 minutes to speak.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you.
Your name? My name is Matthew Lawrence. My address is 16023 Rutherford Lane.
Okay. Matthew, what was your last name?
Lawrence.
Lawrence?
L-A-W-R-E-N-C-E.
And your address again?
16023 Rutherford Lane. And I'm a partner at a local development company. We're actually developing 44,000 square feet next to Smitty's. It's a retail center, Smitty's Meat Market. Do you know where that is?
No.
Okay,
I mean, I've seen it, but I just don't.
Okay, yeah. And we are the owners of the corner lot that Jared was speaking about on Tice and Cherry. And it is currently zoned as residential, and we think it would be a perfect location for, if you see on the map, yeah. We think it would be a perfect location for a...
Well, I know what you're talking about.
Yes, ma'am. For like a neighborhood retail. We're local developers. We're not looking to come develop something and sell it. We build property, we hold it, we really value having good quality buildings that are beneficial to the community, and that's something that we're proposing in this. So this ordinance that Jared was proposing would really help with this tract that we own, because right now how it is with residential, it would be a little difficult to do single family homes. Sorry, I'm a little nervous. I didn't know I'd be speaking in front of people today.
Oh, no, that's okay. We don't bite. We're good.
So as I was saying, this, it's zoned as residential. It's on two artery streets. So having single family homes would be almost impossible. That's why small retail, we're thinking boutiques or a small restaurant. We're not planning to have anything open late. We're not looking to have any bars. We would love to work with the city and having, fit any ordinances or any recommendations that you have with buffers or landscaping. We want to bring value to the neighborhood. Like Jared was saying, this is something that could, you know, give something that's walkable to all the surrounding neighborhoods in the area that are coming. So this is something that would directly benefit us. And yeah, we look forward to you guys working together with the city of Tomball and hopefully making this and other developments like this possible. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. Well, back to the agenda. Okay. Does anybody else would like to speak regarding anything we've been discussing this evening? All right. Okay, the time is now 7:01 p.m. and the public hearing is now closed. Okay. So, if there are no additions, we're closed. Okay. Somebody want to make a motion to table this amendment, or how do we need to handle that the best way?
Didn't we want to, we already have a motion?
To bring it up in January?
To bring it up in January. Okay, so I'm going to move your motion to this spot so it actually works for the year. Is there a second for her motion?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Okay. Is there any discussion or anything? All right, would you call the roll, please, Ms. Kim?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
Commissioner Tag?
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson?
Aye.
Commissioner Harris?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
All right. Thank you. Okay. This is F2. Conduct public hearing in consideration to approve zoning case Z23-19, a request by William G. Hightower to amend Chapter 50 zoning of the Tomball Code of Ordinances by rezoning approximately 0.24 acres of land legally described as being Lot 1, Block 1 of Elm. I think that's what that means. Is that a typo or is it Elam?
Elam.
Elam? Okay, it's not a typo. Thank you. From single family residential 6, SF6 to Old Town and mixed use, Old Town, OTMU. The property is located within the 300 block on the north side of Mechanic Street within the city of Tomball, Harris County, Texas. Staff, could we have your presentation, please?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And I'll be presenting Z23-19. Here's an aerial location map, which is highlighting subject property cross-hatched in yellow. It is approximately 0.24 acres located within the 300 block of Mechanic Street on the north side. The reason for this request, the applicant's request is to rezone the subject property to Old Town and mixed use to allow a wider range of uses with the property to make it more desirable. The applicant does not have immediate plans for development, it's my understanding, but they would like to have the option for a small commercial business on this parcel of land. Here are photographs of the subject site as well as surrounding properties to provide context. Current zoning map showing that the subject property is within the single family residential 6 zoning district. The block that this parcel of land is in has three different zoning classifications, as you can see in this map. The lots to the north are Old Town and mixed use. They are presently vacant. The lot to the east is single family residential 6. It is also vacant. And the lot to the west, as well as the south, immediately to the west, and then immediately to the south, are single family 6 and occupied by single family residences. And then the remainder of the block is light industrial zoning, indicated by that pink color there. Future land use plan, the subject property is designated as Old Town by our comprehensive plan. Downtown Tomball and the surrounding neighborhoods are contained in this Old Town land use category. It's intended to be a highly walkable environment that promotes a distinct sense of place. Recommended land uses include a mixture of residential, office, retail, entertainment, restaurants, and public facilities. The comprehensive plan endorses Old Town and mixed-use zoning as the zoning district which would establish the planned future land use category of Old Town for this area. Therefore, this requested Old Town mixed-use zoning is in direct alignment with our comprehensive plan. City staff sent notification letters to owners of properties within 300 feet of this subject property, and at this time we've received 0 responses in favor and 0 in opposition. This request to rezone to Old Town and mixed use is in direct alignment with the Old Town land use category identified on the future land use plan found within the comprehensive plan adopted by City Council in 2019. The area identified as being within Old Town is intended to be highly walkable and again encourage a mixture of residential as well as retail, office, and entertainment facilities. Therefore, city staff is recommending approval of Z23-19 to you all tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Will the applicant please come forward to present your case? State your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Bill Hightower, 1018 Oak Branch Lane, Tomball, 77375. Pretty much exactly what Jared said is what we're wanting to do, is just change that to Old Town mixed use for future plan.
Mm-hmm. It's your time. You can speak as long as you want.
No, that's good. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. The public hearing on zoning case Z23-19 is now called to order. Let the record show that the time is now 7:07 p.m. Okay, is there anyone who has signed up to speak?
I do not have anybody.
Okay, so if there's anybody present who would like to speak regarding this request, you'll have 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. No comments, okay. Since there are no additional comments, the public hearing is now closed, and the time is now 7:08 p.m. May I have a motion to approve zoning case Z23-19?
I move to approve.
Thank you, Commissioner Moore. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Harris. Okay, where's this? All righty. So, is there any discussion, questions of the applicant, et cetera? Staff?
I open. Were you here a couple months ago with the same property, or?
No.
Okay, Mr. Hightower, please come to the podium. Thank you.
I had a property on Elm Street that we were rezoning.
Okay, you look familiar. Your wife's wondering, are we going through the same property?
We're the one building the house that looks like a sore thumb, according to her.
I got tricked up too because I saw Elam and thinking it was Elm Street.
Yeah,
it threw me off.
So this is a different piece of property than the one that we had talked about a couple months ago. He said that, okay, what are they doing different that they're coming back? And so this is a different.
I just wanted to change it to mixed use for the future development. Mm-hmm. And so, immediately, no plans immediately.
Uh huh. And so there's houses around there. It shows. But there's houses around there.
Does anybody have any other questions of Mr. Hightower?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Oh, thank you, appreciate it. Okay, so.
Basically, what the third lot over from the property that the EDC owns and plans to develop at some point.
Yes, it's my understanding the EDC owns all of the lots in the north here.
On the north side?
So too.
Oh, wow.
Or at least.
What about, do they own the two on the side?
The EDC owns.
To the right of the property?
On the map?
I don't know if they go all the way to Chestnut or not.
They don't go all the way to the green line or Chestnut?
No, the property the EDC owns is actually the ones that you see there that are in the light industrial zoning districts where the Amoresco building is now and kind of the larger parcels coming up. They own property along Live Oak and then to Mechanic.
Okay.
That's
I see. So the properties on both sides of Mr. Hightower's, are those individually owned, or is that okay?
Well, nobody objected to it. It's in an area that's highly developed already. For years, I have no problem with this at all.
I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry.
I'm in favor of it because the areas are already pretty much commercially developed. Mm-hmm. As it is.
Anybody else have any comments or questions? Okay. Would you please call the roll, Jim, please?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Moore.
Aye.
Commissioner Tay.
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson.
Aye.
Commissioner Harris.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you. Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn? Don't want to wait till next week.
Motion to adjourn. Can we go home?
Yeah, we can go home now.
Leave, but yeah, you can adjourn. Thank
motion
you.
To adjourn.
Thank you, Commissioner Anderson. Is there a second? Susan.
I second, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Okay, would you please call the roll?
Yes, ma'am. Commissioner Harris?
Aye.
Commissioner Moore?
Aye.
Commissioner Tag?
Aye.
Commissioner Anderson?
Aye.
Motion to adjourn carries unanimously.
Thank you. The meeting is now adjourned, and the time is 7:12 p.m. Thank y'all. Sign this, oh wait, look, give me your ink pen. All I got is my erasable. I grabbed it on the bag.
What?